Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Center Incentive. It is your host, Violet Alice Evans, and Eric Bell will be joining us shortly. How is everyone doing today? Today is one of the last episodes before we take a break, of course. Let's see here. My mom had messaged me a few moments ago now, about this article that she had read on InfoWars about a man having a seizure after he got a COVID vaccine, like a drive-through COVID vaccine. I'm not finding anything about it anywhere except here on this InfoWars article. Now, I want to clarify that just because Alex Jones is a kind of a, you know, questionable person and some of his ways, you know, him and his antics, he's not a liar or like a bad person or like trying to do bad things. So when I see something from Alex Jones, I don't automatically discredit it. It's something that definitely, you know, like everything else, should be looked into further. But let's go ahead and we will read this article here while we wait for Eric, because this is something that, as you all know if you've been listening, has been bugging me for a long time. Like, since it's come out, I've been very skeptical of these vaccines. So I guess it's not been that long, considering we've only had these vaccines for like a year. However, if you take into account, like, just the whole push for the vaccines, for a long time now, I've had reservations about rushing medications and pharmaceuticals just in general. So this is concerning for me just because of the fact that they're rather rushed. But anyways, let's go ahead and we will read this article on, oh, sorry, I just don't want to miss Eric if he calls. Eric, if you call in while I'm reading, I will be right with you in a moment. So he's probably going to chastise me after reading the InfoWars article, but he can't stop me. He's not even here. So shock footage, man suffers seizure inside car at drive-thru COVID vaccine site. So, of course, this doesn't mean that this is real or whatever, but it's worth looking into, and I just can't find it anywhere else. If anyone could find this on other sources, could send it to me on Instagram, that would be wonderful. But in the video circulating on social media, a person films, oh, and that's the thing, I haven't been on social media except like my art page in a while. I lost my phone again. It was in my pocket of my coat, so real lost there. But I didn't see any of it except for what I was looking up online. So in the video circulating on social media, a person films the adverse reaction through another's car as people are queued up to get the vaccine. And the footage shows several workers frantically attempting to wake the man back into consciousness as he appears to have passed out following the Moderna injection. And he then begins suffering convulsions as a worker is heard saying, I think he's having seizures. A second man in a red car also appears to be fainting from the following the vaccine as the person filming says, what is this one? Okay, so less than 5 minutes from getting God knows what injected inside of the people to my left started having seizures. I feel like we'd hear about this elsewhere. Yeah, well, but it's just going over, like, basically what I just read had happened. And then it's just talking about, like, the experience. So there's not much information even in this. Oh, Mom. So we'll see, I guess, what comes of that, this Moderna vaccine or whatever. Hello, Eric. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Yourself?
I'm doing okay. I was just looking at an article that my dearest mother sent me. She's an Alex Jones person, and I can't find anything about it anywhere. Not other than InfoWars, not to say that means it's not true, just as of right now, the only people talking about it. What's that?
I said it's suspect. The source is suspect.
Yeah, now what's funny, though, is that in retrospect, InfoWars has been correct on a lot, like probably as much as it is incorrect for. So you really have to be careful when you're looking on, like, any site, of course, but especially something like InfoWars, because there's a lot of extremists on that network, and that's, they're right, but, you know, interesting. I want to see where it goes because there are more reports about potentially even having to get a third vaccine for Pfizer and random like side effects are coming up. It's going to happen. You're all testing this vaccine basically. So I applaud you for that. And it's very helpful for society, but everyone who's taking these drugs are basically testing them with us. And that's very helpful, but yeah. Stuff like this will happen. Now, even just common, you know, there's allergies from vaccines. So even if this guy did have a seizure, it doesn't necessarily mean that this thing caused it so much. Well, I guess it would technically be the cause of it, but not for reasons of, like, its safety issues, more for reasons of, like, his own specific body chemistry. Because, I mean, I'm allergic to the pneumonia vaccine. Does that mean we should stop giving people the pneumonia vaccine? Hell, heck no. No. Absolutely not. I'll skip it if I have to. But anywho. So there's this other... You got the Pfizer vaccine, correct?
Correct.
That's good. There's this one article that I found on MSN, though. So, you know, not to say that it's any more credible than the other article necessarily, but I know that it'll make you take it, I guess, a little bit more serious. But it says this man at 20 dies less than 12 hours after receiving a Pfizer jab. And that was from a seizure. Sudden spike in his temperature at Tarbolton, South Ashire home in February. His mother, Tricia? I can't even say it. Wow. 49... said Mr. Garrett they didn't have to tell us how old her mom was. That's really unnecessary. But Mr. Garrett had muscular dystrophy and had been shielding for around a year or so and was excited when it was his turn to get the vaccine. It meant he could finally live his life. But he died in the early hours of the morning. Why would they give him that? I thought if you had these kinds of issues that you were suggested not to get these vaccines. That's very sad. Poor guy. So this young person, 20, that's something like I could have sworn they were suggesting to people that were like having like immune issues and health issues that they should stay clear of it, except for like older people, because I guess they think the risk out or the benefits outweigh the risk or something, but that's very sad. Okay, so this is going to happen. Everyone who's freaking out about these things, I understand why you are, but this is part of testing drugs. Everyone who's taking it, thank you. But if you're skeptical of it and you have, like, sensitivities to things, you're better off just waiting for a little bit. That doesn't mean you shouldn't get one hands down, like, altogether. Just come on now. It's only been, like, not even a year. So we'll see what happens. Now... there are a lot of side effects, of course, that come with catching COVID. I hear people are having, like, long-term, like, neurological issues in some cases, too. But, give and take. But you sound very tired. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. Just wake up, or I tried to have a nap. But no,
oh, yes,
I'm
your
okay.
Nap. That's right, yeah. I was reading and watching some stuff, actually, about how our sleep cycles work as humans, and it was suggesting that humans are supposed to take, like, a midday nap. You're supposed to get, like, at least, like, 8.5 hours of sleep a day, that we've really screwed up our sleep cycles, and that it can lead to, like, depression and anxiety and anger issues and, like, impulsive issues and impulsivity. So,
sounds about right.
Yeah, don't know how some people go for like days without sleeping. Like Donald Trump was saying that he doesn't have to sleep very much each night, and I wonder if that gets to people, because if I miss one night's sleep, I literally feel physically ill. But just a little bit of interesting information. Now, hey, Eric, did you hear about this no-knock raid that happened with this elderly couple like a little while ago?
Not.
Did you hear about this?
Happened recently? No.
Okay.
Yeah, what happened
yeah.
with that?
What? It wasn't, I don't think it happened right just a little while ago, but it's coming back into the news lately because it's kind of gotten a debate started about whether, well, not that this is the first time, but another debate has been started about whether or not we should even have no-knock raids, which I think you probably should for some situations, right? So if it's like a human trafficker and you want to bust them or something, or if it's someone that just like beat the crap out of a bunch of people or like shot a bunch of people or something. Mm-hmm. Where'd it go? I had it up. Break into someone's home when they're just trying to relax or just do drugs even. It leads to violent things. That's like you take something that's a non-offensive crime like drug use, and you turn it into something horribly dangerous for not just the people involved, well, not just the people who are using said drugs, but for the police as well. When you break into someone's house, when you break into someone's house, they don't know who you are right off the bat, so they're just going to assume that you're an intruder and try to defend their families and their property, and
yeah.
I don't think that's too weird to expect. And so when the police break into people's homes and then they, like, get aggressive and then call it self-defense, I don't really know if I can buy that. Because it's like you broke into their home. One of my buddies' houses got raided a few years back, the one that passed away. And they had no respect at all. Like, I get that they think he's, like, a loser or whatever, but his family lives there, too. Like, his little sister and his little brother. And they were, like, teenagers at the time. But, you know, to be a 14-year-old girl and to have someone break into your house and then, like, they literally ended up handcuffing this girl to a chair because she was having an anxiety attack. Like, she's a kid. You're not going to expect someone to have an anxiety attack when you break into their house in the middle of the night. Why do they always have to do it in, like, the worst possible situations, too? Like, you're not even willing to do it in the daytime. You have to make them think that their home is being broken into. Like, you don't get seen? That seems like it makes it, like, I don't know. It just seems to add, like, a whole bunch of unnecessary, like, danger to a situation that could be handled in another way. Like, I get they don't want drug dealing, but you're creating a violent situation out of something that wasn't a violent situation. And I just don't know why we're still doing it these days. I'm trying to find that article, though. I have them all pulled up. Here it is. No knock nightmare. A year later, Fort Worth PD hasn't explained. Like I said, this happened a little while ago. Got a lot of wind over there.
It does.
Anyways. So this happened about a year ago. No knock nightmare. This is on ABC8. A year later, Fort Worth PD has to explain. Are you dying? Are you okay?
Dying? No, I'm not dying. I am perfectly still. I don't know what the noise is.
Oh, geez. Okay. I was worried for a second. Anyway, so Fort Worth, Texas, March 2020 was a horrible month for a Fort Worth couple married for 51 years now, not just because of a global pandemic. Nelda and John Price were shocked when Fort Worth police knocked on their front door and put their hands in flex cuffs while SWAT searched their homes as part of a no-knock raid. Let me tell you something about when they search your home, too. They aren't nice about it. Like I was saying, they go in and they destroy all your stuff, and they literally threw my friend's art in the garbage, because that's necessary for what they're doing, right? There should be some, Maybe they shouldn't be allowed to just break shit casually. You know what I mean? Like, maybe they could be able to go through someone's objects without destroying everything as much as possible. And maybe, like, I get, like, furniture that you have to get into and mattresses, I guess, but do you really have to throw a kid's art in the trash can? Just asking. They never gave him any of his stuff back. They just basically locked him in jail for a month, even though he wasn't even doing what they thought that he was doing, because he had drugs that he personally owned, and then tried to take as much money from his family as possible, and made him go to drug education classes, which were literally, like, nothing new for him and just full of false information. The thing is, he kind of a genius and kind of reckless, but he knew about, like, chemistry, and he understood how these drugs work, but just because you understand something doesn't mean that it can't, you know, take hold of you or whatever. But he knew more about these drugs, and so when he's in these classes, he's literally learning nothing except just how much false information the government wants to put on its citizens for some reason. Like, everything from, like, the everything that we do in this country as far as drug abuse is concerned is really barbaric and, like, old-fashioned still. There are so many other countries that are, like, far more advanced when it comes to treatment of drug abuse and stuff, because they treat it for what it is. Yeah. I mean, they got their own fair amount of other effing issues, that's for sure, don't get me wrong, but, like, it would be nice if we could start treating our civilians like humans. And it's like, do you know how many people use drugs? It's a huge amount of people. And let me look up the statistics of it. Let me see. Anyways,
okay, we need to treat like a health, public health problem rather than, you know, a criminal problem.
Well, it's just a symptom of other issues. It's something people use for depression or anxiety or, like, abuse and things. So really what you're doing when you punish them legally is you're just kind of, well, like, how is that helping? Because all you're doing is you're putting them in a worse situation, like, mentally, which will push them towards drugs. Now, you could say whatever, again, say whatever you want to say about whether or not that makes sense to you as an individual, thinking, oh, well, why would I do more drugs when drugs got me into trouble? It's not that, you're not that rational. It doesn't work like that. Doing drugs isn't a matter of rationale. It's a matter of just, like, your biochemistry being effed up. And when you do drugs, it kind of replaces what you're missing chemically, which is kind of like, all those, you know, those, like, good feelings that you get, like, from having a healthy life full of people that you care about and, like, good experiences and, like, just a healthy environment. You basically get those feelings in a way. Yeah, you, like, falsely get those feelings when you do certain drugs. So it's very enticing, very addictive. Of course, you're not fixing anything when you do those drugs, but humans have always done drugs since we were, like, since before we were humans, actually. And it'll never stop unless you're in such, like, a tyrannical, like, system that you don't want to be there, basically. I don't know. Like, it would be, like, you know, North Korea type shit. But I don't know. I think it's about time that they address this. Everyone's trying to make it a race issue for some reason. It's definitely not a race issue. There's perhaps aspects in certain cases, perhaps you could argue that, like, the case with Breonna Taylor, like, maybe they just shot her, because who knows? But there's a lot more to that story as well. But Breonna Taylor is one of those ones that I actually get, because she wasn't the one that they were even looking for, but they ended up killing her. So this, what I was saying in the description of the show too, is that they make this stuff about race, and then it kind of becomes like more of a, like, a dividing subject, because then people look at it and they say, well, what does that have to do with race? You know, this happened to this person or happened to that person. And then instead of, like, working together to try to solve this issue, our citizens are just fighting with each other. And then the cops and the government continue to get away with what they're doing. So this weird race division, I wouldn't be shocked if a lot of it is, like, yeah.
I don't know.
No, it's been a thing since, like, well, like, you know about, like, Jim Crow laws and shit. That's all so the government can hold power over citizens. Like, and they're not really going to care. People in power who are in power for the sake of power probably don't really care what color you are as long as they can take advantage of you. And if they can sense that people will let them take advantage of different colored people, they'll do that. But they do it to anyone, is what I think. Of course, again, not the case in all situations, but I think a lot of people who get into positions of policing and government positions who are aggressive and violent are just aggressive and violent in general. Does that make sense? You know? It's a power position.
I don't know. I have experiences where I think that probably would have gone differently if I wasn't. I'm sorry, what?
What's that? Something started playing on my computer, and I apologize. I didn't hear what you said.
Well, I don't know. It's, well, there's one instance where I, well, we wish we did actually get somewhat, we're here in Valdosta, where we did have a situation where this one gentleman, he was black, he did get stopped, because he was considered loitering around the CVS. Kind of strange, and he ended up being, like, handled and ended up breaking his arm. And, I've been in similar situations myself, and didn't have anywhere near the same outcome.
So, do you understand that people get killed by the police regardless of their color on a daily basis? That your interaction that you had is one interaction? But it's really disrespectful to say that in a way. Because do you know how many white police shootings just get flat out ignored? Like, they're not even mentioned? Because it just doesn't matter to the media? That's the issue, is that no one considers that. It happens probably more just because of the the population, of course. But I'm talking about the actual population disparity, though. But when you break it down, it does equate to, like, more people of color being aggressed or being dealt with the cops. Now, go ahead.
Because the minorities are, by definition, they're minorities. They're minorities. They have a lot smaller population than white people.
That's my point, yeah. So the thing is, though, is that they completely flat out ignore all of the ones that happen to whites. And you're going to, like, basically, not always, but, and you're going to tell me that in all those police shootings that there aren't any that are worth mentioning? Like, it's just weird. Like, again, this is something that should be addressed, as in this is an issue of U.S. citizens, not an issue of color. There are certain cases where color comes into play and it should be addressed, of course, but it's not one race. It's not just the other. People who crave power will do anything it takes to keep that power. And they like doing sadistic things. They'll do it to whomever they like. It's pretty gross, but not uncommon. And then I found this other article, and this is from 2015, though. This is a Vox article from 2015. Cops do 20,000 no-knock raids a year. Civilians often pay the price when they go wrong. And this article goes, most of the time when a person kills an intruder who breaks into his home, dressed in all black and screaming, the homeowner the homeowner will avoid jail time. But what happened when the break-in was a no-knock SWAT raid? The intruder was a police officer and the homeowner has a record. A pair of cases in Texas are an example of how wrong no-knock raids can go for both police and civilians, and how dangerously subjective the SWAT raid process can be. In December 2013, Henry McGee shot and killed a police officer during a pre-dawn no-knock drug raid on his home. He was initially charged with capital murder, but he argued that he shot the police officer who he thought was an intruder to protect his pregnant girlfriend. So, I get that. Like, I honestly definitely get that. February 2014, the grand jury declined to indict him and charges were dropped. Okay. So in May, a Texas man named Marvin Guy also killed a police officer during a pre-dawn no-knock raid on his home. Guy, too, was charged with capital murder. Unlike McGee's grand jury in September 2014 allowed the capital murder charge against Guy to stand. His trial is likely to happen in 2016. So let's see if we can find out what happened to him, because obviously plenty of time has gone by. Let's see about him. I should probably finish reading this article first, though. Anywho, so Guy, who is black, now faces the death penalty. McGee is white. McGee's case wasn't completely identical to Guy's. The latter had done prison time on robbery and weapons charges, while McGee's previous arrests were for marijuana possession and DUI. But the circumstances of the raids, if anything, made Guy's reaction more justifiable. My question, are they the same people that did the raid too? That's something else that needs to be considered. These are individual officers too. You know, you seen that video of that woman police officer that apparently accidentally shot that guy in the back of a car because she thought she had her taser? Like, I think that's a bullshit excuse if I've ever heard one. Sorry. Either she's so incapable of doing her job that she can actually mistake a stun gun for a actual gun, or she did it on purpose. How did she manage to become a police officer? I understand stress, but you're trained for stressful situations. And so like, you should at least be able to identify your own weapon.
Well, it's like, I had this conversation earlier in the week.
I think if it was a dude, no one would give her any sympathy at all. That's what I think. Except, like, conservatives. Like, really, really conservative Republican types.
I had this conversation earlier this weekend, and I was reminded that, I was never been in this situation for stress, but like you said, she was trained for this. And she's been there for like 20 something years, and I think she even taught classes on this. I don't know.
But how can you not be mad at her, but you can be mad at Chauvin? He had someone screaming in his face the whole time that was happening. Basically, not like in his face, but there was like a guy like threatening him not far away, I guess, a martial artist guy. But there was a lot going on when that happened. I'm actually asking you because it confuses me.
You could actually make a case that it was actual accidents. I mean, she was screaming taser, taser, taser before them shooting, and then it was actually.
That's all I'm saying. You can say the same thing for Chauvin.
No, you can't.
It's a different situation. You can absolutely. There was like someone distracting him, and I know for a fact from being
because
in like horrifying situations. Hold on. let me tell you something right now about this, because this is actually kind of important to think about. As you mentioned, neither of us know what it's like to be in that exact situation, but I'm sure you know what it's like to a degree, at least, to be in a dangerous situation where your sense of time gets, like, really, really distorted, and, like, sometimes forever can feel like a split second, or sometimes a split second can feel like hours. And I don't necessarily think that his intent was to kill him, because one other thing that was interesting was, I guess the literature, hold on one moment, dude, I just want to tell you this because it's relevant. One thing about the knee on the back of the neck issue is, I guess there isn't much literature at all about how that would cut off your airway. And so then I guess they...
Of course it is. It's your fucking neck.
No. Yeah, it's your neck, but when your neck gets... When you get your circulation cut off, I've been choked by people quite a few times. You got to have, like, a good... And not in a fun way. So it's like, people have attacked me. You have to have, like, a good kind of, like, how would I describe it? You have to have enough around the neck to where you can properly cut that air off, or else it's just, like, you're getting kind of poked. Like, and if he had his neck, like, on, like, a curve or something, that would make sense. Otherwise, like, how do you, unless he broke it, I don't know how that would work.
There was no reason for him to be on the guy's neck.
But that's not the issue, though. I'm asking how you cut off... I'm not saying I disagree or agree. I'm asking how you cut the airway off that way. That's all. Because I've not... Do you know how that would work?
Sorry, what?
Do you know how that would work?
There's a lot we have to respond to. He was being distracted because... Yeah, people reason why people were coming to... were gathering around him and like putting and like recording him on their cell phone, because they were witnessing a police officer murder mm-hmm. him, as he was calling him mm-hmm. as he was calling her for his mom, begging him to stop.
Also, if you're talking, you know, when you're talking, that automatic, like, I know that he stopped talking after a while, but when he was begging,
after
that
he was
on responses, when he was, like, actually begging and fighting and talking and stuff, that shows that he was, like, yeah, maybe he felt sick, but he was able to breathe. Now, the reason he stayed on in that long, probably thinking he just had to keep him still, especially considering there's a bunch of people around him, I don't think that he tried to kill this person.
Well, it's pretty, it's kind of, that might be hard to prove. Second degree and third degree is a little bit hard for that. But I would say there's at least more evidence that he just didn't give a fuck whether he died or not.
Well, all of the claims that they're, everything that they're going for, like you mentioned last time, they're not trying to say that it was intentional. They're looking for, like, neglect issues or just, like, accidental killing or whatever. I'm not sure how that's going to go.
Or that he was on drugs and that whatever, and that was not his, the knee to neck was not what killed him, which the medical examiner that was on stand actually said, no, it wasn't the fentanyl. It was the knee to his neck for 9 minutes.
Wasn't there multiple people that were involved in that, though? Like, that's not the only person's opinion on that. There were several people that looked into that. Didn't they do, like, 3 autopsies on that dude?
There were multiple. There's more than one.
Definitely. Let me see.
I know the one testified said that it was the knee to the neck.
I wonder when the last thing that you seen was, because I've seen so much about the drugs in his system and the weird COVID issues that they were talking about briefly, and that he had actual heart issues. And I think this is one of those issues where, like, a lot of things come into play, and the Chauvin guy probably didn't handle it right. but like you mentioned with other lady, you don't really know until you're like in that situation. Her, I don't get at all, because her, she's like, for Derek, I guess you could argue that since this guy was on drugs, when he like passed out, like he didn't necessarily know that he was dead, or if he just like was unresponsive because of like whatever drugs or stress or whatever. And since he was like surrounded by people, can you really just like get up, you know, and let this guy like do whatever?
Yes.
I don't really know. I know that they were waiting for an ambulance. Okay, Eric. Okay.
So he was waiting patiently for an ambulance, well, for with his knee on the guy's neck.
Because again, though, if the knee on the back of the neck doesn't cut off your hair, your airway in any sort of medical literature, and he wasn't taught that, what I'm saying is that an intention?
How is that not possible? What?
Because have you ever been choked before? Have you? Honestly, I'm asking you. Like, bad,
yeah,
though.
Absolutely.
Like, not for fun. Not for fun.
Yeah.
But, like, actually
yeah.
choked. So, you know then, so listen, yeah. then, you know when you're getting choked then, and you have pressure all around your neck, or, at the very least, you have to have pressure on both sides to cut it off? Like, if you were to just have pressure on the back of your neck, how would that, it doesn't bend the same way the front of your neck does, Eric. So I'm not really sure how that would work, unless there was something underneath of him. Then I could see.
Well,
so
yeah, he was on the pavement. He was on the pavements.
Yeah, but your whole body's
so
on the pavement, so you're leveled. Your back of your neck doesn't bend the same way, I know. I mean, no, because you're...
So, that's your question.
They don't have...
For what,
go ahead.
To answer your question, why I would be necessarily look at why I'm pretty different than this lady. And there's a lot I don't know. Was like, you can make a case that that was, for this case, it was an accident. He was calling taser, and then ended up...
They could have just said that to get away with shooting him, too, though, the same reason why you say
But
you're not willing to give Derek Chauvin the benefit of the doubt at all. Like, at all. That's all I'm saying.
No.
I think if girl was a man, no one would give her the benefit of the doubt at all, just like everyone is
no,
with
that's,
Chauvin.
Well, that's not the case.
I think so.
I can see that in
really
other
do.
States. If the case is, well, if you're asking me, I would say the cases are. That's very much irrelevant.
No, it doesn't
seem
very irrelevant.
That. But no, it's not. But I would say,
women
if
always
I don't see reason, and she's
life.
Not being charged for, and she's not being charged for third degree or second degree murder, she's in charge with manslaughter. And she should be. And she should get in trouble for this, because it is inexcusable to make that.
She should absolutely lose her job. She should never be able to work in anything. She should never be able to work in anything that has any sort of authority position to it at all, if you ask me, like, ever again.
Yeah, well, I would, well, that's goes to, but I would say she does deserve to be held accountable.
She's kind of stupid, obviously.
That's a very big fuck up.
Yeah,
in
it is. That's why I said
scenario.
She's stupid. Worst case, yeah, best case scenario, she's just stupid and doesn't deserve to work there at all and should be dealt with. Because you know what? If anyone else just killed a person on accident, they would be dealt with, you know, regardless. Like, maybe they wouldn't go to prison forever, but they would have to deal with something. They'd have to do something. I don't know exactly what, but I don't, like, lose your job for sure. Maybe give the family a bunch of money, because now they have to pay for their fucking family member's funeral and stuff. Let's think, what else would help? Probation sorts, kind of. You have to go to therapy, court-ordered therapy. Yeah, stuff like that. Something, if you can prove it was an accident.
I don't know. I would be okay with her.
It looks way more intentional to me than just because someone says something doesn't mean it's true. If you like, lying happens a lot. For all we know, she just said taser, so she could kill this kid. We don't know.
That, yeah, that's. that is, I would say, not impossible, but I mean,
not
I
even
just,
close to impossible.
Yeah, I've
did
not,
you hear
but
about this cop?
Impossible.
Oh, I heard about this cop that killed, apparently on accident, this lady cop that was married and just happened to be at this guy's house in the middle of the night, and he said that they were playing Russian roulette and she shot herself in the chest. And I thought it sounded a little suspicious, if you ask me. Why would that ever happen? Yeah. It sounds like one of those things where people just say it's an accident. Could be wrong. This is a weird one. I don't trust people, typically. I don't. I don't really necessarily think that. And all I'm saying is that if you I think, honestly, I think she's just really stupid, though. I don't really think that she necessarily meant to kill that person, but if you're going to give one person the benefit of the doubt, then you have to take in all the same kind of consideration as you would for the other people as well.
Well,
I think she should probably.
There's not much reason for that. That's a little bit, I mean, those are not the same cases, even a
little
bit.
Someone lying is less realistic to you than someone being panicked and not understanding that they're hurting someone.
I don't see that with your children.
I don't know. I don't know why. I don't get it. That just seems personal to you now at that point, really, which is okay. You're allowed your own opinion. I just don't see why.
I mean, it's possible that maybe with this lady that it might not have been an accident, like you said, but.
To be clear, I think David Chauvin should probably lose his, Derek Chauvin should probably lose, he should lose his job too. Like.
I think he did.
I don't think
actually,
he handled it right. Well, yeah, good. Like. Maybe he should go to therapy and do probation and all the same things that Chicky has to do.
In jail.
See, that's the thing, I don't know if they can prove it was intentional, but if someone that says taser, 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 which is interesting because I'm pretty sure that you can tell the difference between a taser and like a gun, with handgun, just by the feel, a normal person probably could,
I mean,
let alone someone that's been trained with them.
I don't know, but so far she hasn't been charged with murder at their degree.
Well,
and I don't know, there could be possible that, or just that we don't see enough evidence at the moment to do that. And maybe they could later. Maybe some of the DAs or whoever that prosecutors could might go for that. They might.
How would you prove that, though? How can you prove intent? It's very hard to prove it. It's hard to prove intent. Like, it's very hard to prove intent in those kinds of situations.
Well, I mean, that's a little bit harder. I mean, I guess it would be third degree at the moment or second degree. I mean, if it gets higher in third degree, she would really have to be, like, actually out to kill them. Like, have some prior engagements. I don't know. Maybe that's... by all means, it should be investigated, and if there's evidence for more charges, then...
Aren't they just going to find a post that says, like, I love killing young POC? Like, I doubt that. Like, maybe they'll find, like, some racist stuff that they said that even still. Like, I wonder how. It'd be so weird. I think she didn't. I don't know. She's either, like, so stupid, it's, like, weird that she even got that position in the first place, which is what I think, because I think that they... I might get canceled. Did they lower the standards of policing for women like they did for firefighters? And what did they lower? I'm just curious. We should look into that for the next episode to see.
Say that. That's...
Oh, they literally did for firefighters. That's, like, a fact, though. So... I just asking a question. Just physical. Imagine that. Lowering the weight factor. Just weird.
I'm sorry, am I allowed to answer?
I mean, yeah, I guess, but I mean you realize that you also were interrupting, but it's okay. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. It is true.
You know, it's our classic stuff. It's classic. Go right ahead.
I mean, there are, like, in the military, they do have some lower physical requirements in terms of, like, how much they can lift and so forth. I'm sure mental fortitude is kind of the same.
Yeah, but so, I don't know. It depends on what they're testing them for. We have to look into it. Women are interesting. It's okay. You okay?
I've just been a little bit irritable. I apologize for being irritable and lashing out.
Oh, it's okay.
In front of the audience as well.
This kind of sounds like you're not feeling good. Are you okay?
I'm sick or whatever, but this also could have been of course, very familiar with, we've touched with them on here before, but, you know, having, you know, issues with depression and so forth. And had somewhat of an episode before going on here.
If it's something that you're comfortable talking about, feel free. But if you'd like, we can have a conversation after the show. It's up to you. Don't want to put you out there, though.
I don't know if I want to talk about it just right now.
Okay. Well, I'm not holding it against you at all. It's no problem. Like, I get it. It's like, I think I get like that, too. And you've been nothing but understanding with me, so I'm not going to hold it against you.
Yeah.
Well, I hope that it passes and that you start to feel better. Everything's been very hard with everything going on. You know, there's not enough positive distractions right now. All this stuff has been happening for a long time, but at least we could go out and enjoy things and see our families, and it was just more fun. So I think that it kept people from going insane, and not to say that you're going insane, but feeling depression is bad. And I've literally been going insane on and off, so that's why I use that terminology. But it's just stressful. So I get it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure anyone listening would get it too. I wanted to mention, though, unless you want to keep talking about that, feel free to interrupt me at any time. But if you look at, this is going to piss off a lot of people. If you look at, like, IQ levels for men and women, it's interesting because the way that, like, the graph goes for males, it's like they have way more dumb dudes, less average level intelligence dudes, and then, like, way more smart dudes, if you will. And then, like, so chicks have way less stupid chicks, more average intelligence chicks, and then less really highly intelligent chicks. So that's just interesting, and I wonder if it ever comes into play when it comes to... I hope not. We can't be lowering criteria like that. There's plenty of, like, just because we have less of them doesn't mean that there aren't a bunch of, like, really intelligent women that could fill those roles, because there definitely are, like, and then there's plenty of average level intelligence people to do average level intelligence jobs. So there's no issue with women being able to be productive at all. That's not what I'm saying. But when you lower standards for positions like firefighters and police officers and, like, serious things like that, especially the physical side of it. Now, I know that we're not talking about the physical side of it, but that's just very obvious. Like, men and women, very different physical bodies. It's a lot harder for women to do the same things as men. Oh gosh, we got to go to commercial though. I'm late for a commercial here. Anyway, so like, that's pretty well accepted, I think, that there are differences between men and women. I'm just curious how far they take that when it comes to hiring people to fulfill strong roles like those. Anywho, though, we're going to go ahead and cut to a break, everyone. And I'm probably going to play some Wolf Morpheus, too. Everyone go follow him on SoundCloud. And before we start, just so that I don't forget, because I'm very forgetful these days, I want to say thank you to Blog Talk Radio and to Freedomizer Radio. And I hope that Proof is doing well. Thanks so much again for letting us host these wonderful shows. And all right, everyone, we will be back in just a few moments as soon as I can actually find what I'm looking for. This is all, we gotta organize this stuff. All right, everyone, we'll be right back.
Hello everyone, I'd like to talk to you about our newest sponsor, Misty'sGardens.com. Now this is a contraption where you can grow food in your apartment, in a small patio, or if you're like me and you absolutely suck at gardening, this makes life a lot easier. It is a vertical tower garden. We can grow over 20 things at once in a small, compacted area. Good health starts with good habits like eating wholesome foods, and with Tower Gardens, you can easily grow your own fresh, nutrient-rich food virtually anywhere year-round without soil. So Misty'sGardens.com, have a look at it, check it out, buy it, plant, and like it. Misty'sGardens.com. Hey everyone, Proof here again. I want to let you know that you want to protect yourself against this upcoming food shortage that's about to happen. I know with all this COVID stuff that growing your own food is going to be extremely important right now. So I want to introduce you to my friends over at groundwithagarden.com, and you can get yourself hooked up with a vertical garden that you can grow inside or outside of your house. So if you have a back patio or you don't have room outside, you can grow in either way. And I have a bunch of stuff growing on mine. I have pictures to share. I love this thing. This is the best garden and most successful that I've ever had for gardening for my own self. So let me give you the website again, groundwithagarden.com. That's groundwithagarden.com.
Please check out our sponsor, Save Around. Save Around coupon books have been with us for several years, and they help you save money when going out to eat, renting a car, buying flowers, and all kinds of other good stuff. The good thing is you can view the coupon books before you buy. Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.com, and click on the Save Around book that you'll see right next to our chat room. Like I said, you could preview it before you purchase, and hopefully you'll save yourself some money and help us as well. Please check it out.
Of all the grounding studies, the one that really got our attention is called Electric Grounding Improves Vagal Tone in Preterm Infants.
I've heard stories from teachers in classes where their students are grounded that they have half the level of referrals for discipline. Some students who were in tears because they were experiencing success when before they were experiencing failure with their behavior and discipline. I've heard stories from teachers with autistic children who have been grounded where they have less of what they call the meltdowns and the melt.
Did you know that every time you swipe your debit card, those behind-the-scenes transaction fees make the big banks even richer? In 2016 alone, these fees added up to $60 billion. Yes, that's billion with a B. Well, what if there was a way to have the convenience of a debit card, but reroute those fees from the banksters to organizations actually doing good in the world? Organizations that protect the environment or feed hungry children? What if your swipes could literally change the world? Well, Groundswell SPC has found a way to do just that. We've designed a Visa debit card program that shares transaction fees with your favorite cause. Groundswell partners with nonprofit organizations that promote the card to their supporters. Their supporters then use the card to power the mission of the nonprofit. It's a win-win-win for everyone, except the big banks, of course. Groundswell is about to launch its first cards into market, and we're inviting you to be part of this movement as an investor in the company. Go to wefunder.com/groundswellcard to learn more. Set up a free WeFunder account and invest in Groundswell today and get your money on mission.
All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Center Incentive. It is Violet Alice Evans again. And sorry about the skipping around on the commercials. I was trying to find specific ones. I'm biased that way, okay? Now, Eric is no longer with us at this moment. He decided to take the rest of the episode off, which is totally fine. Poor guy. He is so much nicer than me. And I just feel for him. He wasn't being, like, aggressive. Like, he was just being firm in his beliefs. And he's just so nice. Anyways. No, totally fine. We only got about a half hour, and there's some things that I kind of wanted to cover anyways, and I'm going to try to stick around for the full time. If not, you know, like, I don't really know why that would be hard. It's a half hour, unless all of my articles just disappear. Okay, here it is. So one interesting thing that I wanted to bring up that's pretty important to me is apparently there is now a National Slavery and Human Trafficking Prevention Month, which is very awesome and applaudable. This is a document from the government website.gov. This is proclamation 10130 of December 31st, 2020. And I know it's like a year old, but I didn't even hear about it. Did you guys hear about it? No, you will. So, National Slavery and Human Trafficking Prevention Month 2020, a proclamation: human trafficking is a horrific assault on human dignity that affects people in the United States and around the world. It tears apart communities, fuels criminal activity, and threatens the national security of the United States. During National Slavery and Human Trafficking Prevention Month, we reaffirm our commitment to eradicate this abhorrent evil, to support victims and survivors, and to hold traffickers accountable for their heinous crimes. Tragically, through force, fraud, and coercion, human traffickers deprive millions of victims of their unalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, often referred to as modern slavery. This intolerable blight on society involves involves exploitation for labor or sex, and affects people of all ages, genders, races, religions, and nationalities. As the United States continues to lead the global fight against human trafficking, we must remain relentless in our resolve to dismantle this illicit and immoral enterprise in our cities, suburbs, and rural communities, tribal lands, and transportation networks. So, of course, this is older, so this is, one moment please. Okay, so my administration has prioritized ending human trafficking since its earliest days. As one of my first acts as president, I instructed federal agencies to do what was necessary to bring human traffickers to justice and assist survivors on their road to recovery. Since then, the United States Immigration and Customs Enforcement, along with other federal agencies, has aggressively pursued these criminals, dismantling the financial infrastructure of their networks and arresting over 5,000 human traffickers. In 2019 alone, federal law enforcement agencies initiated more than 1,600 new investigations into human traffickers, and the Department of Justice Human Trafficking Task Forces opened more than 2,500 new cases on the front lines. At my direction, the Department of Homeland Security launched its new Center for Countering Human Trafficking, which utilizes personnel from 16 DHS components, including special agents, victim support specialists, and intelligence research specialists, to focus on disrupting and dismantling trafficking organizations and providing support and protection to victims. I remember me and Eric were actually talking about how Joe Biden was canceling out some of the human trafficking, I think it was another task force, and we were wondering like what he was going to do to replace it. This is obviously from Trump's administration. But I didn't even hear about this like months, and I'm curious. I need to look into more of what Biden is doing to counter human trafficking, because the Trump administration, that's one thing that he did do, like he did prioritize human trafficking. So a year ago, I was proud to host the White House Summit on Human Trafficking, honoring the 20th anniversary of the Trafficking Victims Protection Act of 2000. During this historic event, I signed an executive order on combating human trafficking and online child exploitation in the United States. Through this order, my administration established the first ever White House position focused solely on combating human trafficking. Last year, I also released a comprehensive National Action Plan to Combat Human Trafficking, or NAP. Yeah, built around, I think this is the one we talked about, actually. Uh-oh, we need to look into this one to see what Biden's doing. Built on the three pillars of the TVPA, prevention, protection, and prosecution, the NAP also includes a fourth pillar, which recognizes the invaluable benefit of implementing collaborative and cooperative efforts that cross-cut all three pillars and involved a involve a multitude of stakeholders and professionals from various disciplines and sectors. Using the strategy, the United States government will employ a whole of government approach to improve our capabilities and build on existing momentum in our fight against human trafficking. Okay, so let's see what Joe Biden is doing on human trafficking. I wish I didn't have my stupid, terrible speech issues. I'd be so good at this. No, I'm just kidding. I'd still be awful at it. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
Combating human trafficking in the Biden administration. What do we have here? Council on Foreign Relations. This is a CFR.org blog. So, again, something that'll need more research into after. Combating human trafficking in the Biden administration. This is by, who wrote this? Who wrote you? I don't see the writer. Oh, here it is. Sarah E. Mendelson. All right, Sarah, let's see what you got to say, my dude. This piece was authored by Sarah on the first line. Sorry, guys. Sarah E. Mendelson, Distinguished Service Protector of Public Policy, Carnegie Mellon University, and head of CMU's Hines in D.C. As the United States marks the 20th anniversary of the Trafficking Victims Protection Act, and okay, so good thing that, pretty sure I just read something counter to that. Jeez, Trump, come on. So, let's see. Sorry, I got really sidetracked. As the United States marks the 20th anniversary of the Trafficking Victims Protection Act and the Palermo... The Palermo Protocol that we talked about? I kind of wish Eric was here to tell me which one it was. I did smoke a little while ago, and I couldn't remember some things, but... And as the Joe Biden administration takes office, it is an appropriate time to consider new approaches to combat human trafficking, perhaps not surprisingly given early and important roles played by the Justice Department and the UN Office of Drugs and Crime. The prosecution of traffickers has dominated U.S. strategies, trailed by efforts to prevent trafficking and protect victims, collectively known as the 3Ps approach, which we just learned. And what should be done more or differently? The vast repair work to be undertaken by the Biden administration offers an opportunity to build forward and in new ways, including changes to how and where we're combating human trafficking is being operationalized, both in terms of diplomacy and development. A relatively easy first step would be to reinstitute the 4P abandoned by the Donald Trump administration in more ways than one. Partnerships Secretary of State Hillary Clinton introduced the concept of partnership in recognition of the collaboration needed to reduce and eradicate human trafficking and modern slavery. Another obvious step, I think it's interesting, first of all, that Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, anyone would, other than the people that initially made it, would have to be like, hey, maybe we should all work together. That seems just like obvious, and it seems like it just should happen naturally anyway. That's very strange. Anyways, in recognition of the collaboration needed to reduce and then eradicate human trafficking and modern slavery, another obvious step will be to quickly nominate the candidate for the... Unless did she write it? Who wrote this? That's another thing I'd like to look into, actually. I already read that. Nominate the candidate for the ambassador-at-large position at the State Department so that he or she can get confirmed and help oversee the annual report. Beyond those unconventional suggestions, new approaches should guide work over the next 10 years, well beyond the Biden administration, to help broaden constituencies involved in combating trafficking with the U.S. government and around the world using the Sustainable Development Goals. Trafficking as a Sustainable Development Challenge. The SDGs were adopted by all UN member states in 2015, run through 2030, and involve 17 objectives to create a more equitable and viable planet. Okay. These goals came together over a three-year period following the input of millions of people around the world, especially younger generations. They brought in 21st century conception of sustainable development stems in part from the role played by several female ambassadors from countries that had recently emerged from the war. During the end stages of negotiations at the UN, these ambassadors argued forcefully that issues related to peaceful, just, and inclusive societies, including combating trafficking, be part of SDGs or else they and their countries would not sign. The global goals present a paradigm shift in how we think about sustainability. Sustainability refers to climate issues, but also conceptions of equality and governance. As important, the SDGs represent a paradigm shift in how we think about development. Development happens everywhere and not just due to the global south. It kind of sounds like, okay, maybe I'm being rude, and maybe we should read the full article, but it kind of sounds like it's getting convoluted here, and that if you're going to bring global warming and weird shit like that, okay, no, we'll just see where it's going. Maybe I'm just jumping to conclusions. Keep going. Anyways, development happens everywhere, not just the global south. The SDGs apply to all of us. To be realized, they need to live well beyond the United Nations and be implemented by country, cities, NGOs, universities, the private sector, and even the individual level. These paradigm shifts thus have implications and should have an impact on how to think about both sustainability and development for the US. For the United States today, the SDGs are both timely and in need of a lot more awareness, explanation, and discussion. Specifically, in an era of global pandemic and multiple crises, the SDGs are even more of a North Star for recovery than before the virus struck. Yet to date, the movement to combat human trafficking has been largely absent from action on the SDGs. So this makes sense in this context, I suppose, but we'll keep reading here. That could change now, and not just because of the new Biden administration, thanks in part to a new detailed and compelling report in Developing Freedom, the Sustainable Development Case for Ending Modern Slavery, Forced Labor, and Human Trafficking. UN University author argues the development sector has a slavery blind spot. This 18-month study examining 2 million project records in 16 countries from 2000 to 2017 finds that a majority of bilateral donors and development banks do not regard combating human trafficking through the lens of development, but rather as a criminal justice problem. The report then makes a powerful case for how this perspective should change and argues that the development community should participate robustly in combating human trafficking. You know, I kind of do see this. Okay, that made a lot of sense to me. You've talked about it on the show before, about, like, how if a country can profit off slavery, they just kind of let it happen. And, like, how even, like, America profits off of slavery because we get goods and, like, stuff that we need to create goods here from other countries that get those goods from, like, slaves. Like, for example, the mica industry that I've talked about because of makeup. Or, well, chocolate, coffee, like, anything good. Really, all the stuff that we love is evil. Just because it's sad. Like, there's some things that anyways, let me just get back to the article, because I don't want to just go off. This is kind of, like, really interesting now. At first, I thought they were going to go off in some crazy direction, but I kind of judged it too early, I think, so let's keep going. My own experience at USAID suggests much work is needed to reverse this trend. Counter-trafficking work, as with other human rights work, is often siloed despite efforts to the contrary, including the 2012 USAID Combating Trafficking in Persons, CTIP policy, co-authored by Dr. Karen Groen and me, which argued for better integration. Note also the extensive work that went into creating the SDGs, where combating trafficking appears as a target across three different goals: a rare and hard-fought future. Get a drink, please. To the extent that public messaging regarding trafficking and the SDGs has existed to date, it has been through the lens of decent work. SDG Goal 8, with its target aim point 7 on forced labor, child labor, modern slavery, and human trafficking. Okay, well, I don't know what that is. Don't know what it's referencing. The focus on labor trafficking is, of course, needed and welcome. It is worth considering, however, whether prioritizing Target 8.7 through Alliance 8.7, a global partnership launched in 2016, okay, I'll make a note to look into this as well, has the unintended consequence of reinforcing silos, possibly reducing attention to other trafficking-related SDG targets. There's something I would like. There I am. Okay, I just, like, lost my place there for a good solid, like, 2 minutes. On reducing violence against women and girls, and on reducing all forms of violence, as well as downplaying the integrated nature of the SDGs. Indeed, the UNU report found that anti-slavery can contribute to 113 of the 179 Sustainable Development Goal targets, especially ending poverty, quality education, decent work, climate action. Why would you even bring up climate in this? I'm sorry. That's, like, why I was getting skeptical, but it doesn't really matter because they're not focusing on that, at least. And what they're arguing in these areas kind of does make sense in context. Did I just lose my place again? Jesus. Oh, geez. Sorry, guys. I just keep losing my place. Maybe I need to go to sleep, too. I'm going to get off air here at 10:30, and I'm going to probably eat something because I'm having a heckin' hard time getting through this article. This is, like, a super long article, though. So maybe I should just cut it off here. Kind of did want to read it on air, though. So if I can find it, like, in just, like, a couple of seconds here, we'll get back to it. Yeah, here we are. I found it. Yay. As well as downplaying the integrated nature of the SDGs, indeed, the UNU report found that anti-slavery efforts can contribute to 113 of 179 sustainable developmental goal targets, especially ending poverty, quality education, decent work, climate action, peace and justice in strong institutions. In part due to the absence of the Trump administration advocating the SDG agenda, the American global development community, not to mention the movement to combat trafficking and modern slavery, has been largely missing in action on the SDGs. Okay. I don't think that's true. But if they're going to say that and then actually do stuff to continue ending trafficking, then that's good. It's good by me. If they need to lie to do good, It's confusing, but I guess I'll deal with it. But it's not good, nonetheless. But, if you know, as long as attention gets to this, if you want to talk bad about Trump, fine, whatever. Just, like, I prefer you didn't lie outright, but, you know, just keep advocating for victims of it, of trafficking, and we're good. In part due to the absence of the Trump administration advocating for the SDT agenda, the American global development community, not to mention the movement to combat trafficking and modern slavery, has been largely missing in action on the SDGs. Accenture's recent survey of 98 member organizations of the Society for International Development, Washington chapter, most of which are USAID implementers, found that only one-third of the respondents indicated that their organization has a strategy to advance the SDGs through their programs and operations. If and when USAID pivots to supporting the SDGs, so will this development community. Given the last 4 years, even the most conscientious foreign policy experts could reasonably think that there has not been much uptake of the SDGs around the world, this conclusion would be inaccurate. The world communicates about the SDGs through voluntary reviews. One indication of SDG uptake, therefore, is in fact due to date. 168 countries have reported out their progress on the SDGs, some multiple times. Over 200 voluntary national reviews have been presented. The United States is the only OECD country that has not done a single one. Whoa, that's interesting. Cities around the world, including the United States, let's look into that though. Including the United States, are also aligning with the SDGs and reporting out their progress. Okay, well, good. That's good. Through voluntary local reviews, universities increasingly see the SDGs as important, and in the past fall, at Carnegie Mellon, we published the first voluntary university review to see how our education, research, and practice align. Yep, I'm useless. Take my brain out. I don't need it anymore. I keep losing everything I'm reading. Align with the SDGs. SDGs. These reviews are an opportunity to both elevate the agenda across the goals and at the national level to drive needed resources toward combating trafficking and measuring impact. The United States, under the Biden administration, needs to join its peers and start implementing the SDGs. The movement to combat trafficking would be a big lift from such a pivot. And then this is, reduce bureaucratic silos to increase impact. Even if and when this occurs, however, the administration has additional bureaucratic silos to tackle. To repeat, issues related to human rights are often viewed as distinct and secondary by many regional and thematic bureaus at both the State Department and USAID. Many political appointees across multiple administrations have scars from bureaucratic battles trying to alleviate trafficking. Among the most contentions have been debates between bureaus on the congressionally mandated trafficking and persons tier rankings of countries, on occasion spilling into public view. More shocking but largely unknown were instances of appeals denied by the department to halt U.S. visa programs for household staff serving foreign diplomats from countries with a pattern of convictions on human trafficking in U.S. courts. Some of these diplomats, after fleeing the country, failed to pay compensation to survivors. If leadership in the White House, the National Security Council, the State Department, you said, in any number of other departments view sustainable development as core to the mission of the U.S. foreign and domestic policy, linked to the robustness of our own democracy, human rights, and governance, in the elevation of policies in support of sustainable development and the tacking of bureaucratic silos could occur. Trafficking, like atrocities, would be categorized as the opposite of sustainable development rather than being considered as nice to have, a nice issue, or someone else's job. Combating human trafficking could be considered essential. I don't think anyone thinks it's like nice to have, except those who are profiting off of it, which would be a lot of like higher ups. And a lot of people that are actually, it's huge. Like it's so many people. It's people like elites, like Jeffrey Epstein types and all the government people. So like the prince in the UK and like, not Harry. Weird one. Can't remember his name right now. But anywho, there's so many issues with human trafficking that it's literally in every class. It's not a poor person problem. It's not a rich person problem. It's just like a human issue, unfortunately. Given the new administration, the community dedicated to combating trafficking no doubt is thinking about how to link the anti-slavery agenda to the campaign promises about elevating democracy and human rights. Standing the pandemic, the 2021 calendar has a number of important UN meetings that should be a focus of attention. The special session on corruption, for example, scheduled for June 2021, the high-level political forum in July 2021, where SDG 8, SDG 16, and SDG 17 are all on the agenda, and of course, UNGA 76 are occasions for the Biden administration to work with the movement to evaluate and advance new approaches to combat human trafficking. These would also be opportunities to convene high-level donor and diplomatic dialogues on how to collaborate on combating trafficking in the context of SDGs, including how to incentivize countries that end up repeatedly some year after year ranked as tier three by the State Department. Perhaps most important, the Summit for Democracy proposed by Biden provides an exceptional opportunity to make new commitments that include combating human trafficking at home around the world. After all, our very democracy, our country, nearly came apart as a result of slavery. Today's movements addressing racial injustice connected to the past and this issue. Maybe a little bit, but like not here. I don't really think that. Well, you're gonna look at like long-term effects of slavery. Perhaps you could argue that because like, you do get affected by how you were raised, and if you were raised in poverty, it's hard to get out of that. It's hard to get out of poverty in general. But after slavery, of course, a lot of African Americans were left in a bad situation and had to like work really hard to kind of get long-term wealth the way that other established families kind of already had. Not all of them, obviously, because there's like so many poor people of any color. So, but it is something to consider, especially, well, I've talked about it before. We don't need to get too much into that at this moment. Today's movement addressing racial injustice is connected to the past and this issue. And the summit should be viewed not as a coffee clutch, but rather as an opportunity. I don't know what that means. An opportunity where governments and civil society offer much consolation and with humility and confidence show up ready to deliver solid commitments and be held accountable for them in follow-up and review sessions in the years to come. In such a cynical era, and given our multiple crises, it's tempting to be skeptical, but this agenda is precisely what is needed today. The SDGs can serve as a call to action in this decade of action to citizens around the world, especially young people who yearn for a more prosperous and peaceful progressive planet. Those four P's can help strengthen and reinforce the trafficking. Four P's can leave the generation with a world where trafficking and slavery are truly crimes of the past. And yeah, that's the whole article. And let's hope that it is possible to get rid of human trafficking. It's horrifying. I was watching a young lady's channel, a woman who escaped from North Korea, and she said that her and her mother were, like, trafficked in China when she got out because, like, being trafficked is, like, so common when it comes to immigrating. not, I get why she would leave North Korea, and no questions asked, I get it, but it's still something she had to deal with, and it's so common, and I wish there were ways to where we could just get rid of that.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.